BTS Presents Free Radio Santa Cruz can be seen on YouTube. And I want to thank you for listening in to freeradio.org. We could probably try that
and
again.
One, all right. And 101.3 FM. Rawr.
500 reward to you for helping us find a new Free Radio studio location. We need something urgently. We are gone out of here on the 20th. Need about 200 square feet of location. We can build this little shack. We can use someone's shed. A closet, perhaps. We do need a bathroom. We need electricity. And we can wire that in as well. Again, $500 to the person that finds such a location. We need it for about a year. Contact us at frsc@freakradio.org. Online, freakradio.org. P.O. Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And the $500 goes to you.
Tune in every weekday to the International Middle East Media Center audio news program. Broadcast every morning before 8 a.m. and every evening before 5 p.m. only on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM, freakradio.org. Check out imemc.org.
This is Michael Parenti, and we're listening to Free Radio in Santa Cruz, which we should listen to at every opportunity we can get.
And today is July 5th, 2018, coming right at you shortly. 2 hours of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. That's a show I do twice weekly. This is the short version on Thursday, the long ones on Sunday, 9:30 to 3, or sometimes shorter. Today's show is going to be taken up with a couple of things. Essentially, we're going to be kind of documenting the protest that we had last Thursday, the parts of it we didn't cover on Sunday, which was concerned, of course, with the reopening of the Loudoun, Nelson, and San Lorenzo Park bathrooms, which have been shut without any documentation or public process by the Parks and Rec Department. And the head of that whole scene is ultimately City Manager Martine Bernal, who we learn has, at least according to Phil Posner, gone on vacation. I haven't yet been able to confirm this with City Hall, but I'm assuming that Phil's information is correct. He's been sort of providing the minutes of our meetings and trying to arrange sort of negotiating sessions with Martine Bernal to make an earnest attempt to diplomatically resolve issues before, raising loudly voices in protest. Although some voices have already been raised, and I'm glad they have. Anyway, we're going to be listening to some video, the audio portion of the video, taken by Salinas video journalist and homeless advocate Wes White, who came to town and braved the police department and the city bureaucrats in the Santa Cruz City Hall last Thursday, who threatened him with arrest and told him he couldn't be videoing in the city council offices. That was being a bad boy. But he did anyway, and he also took a lot of video of some of the homeless accounts of what it feels like to be outside without a bathroom and how wretched and humiliating it is. And there's other more general comments about other specifics about the homeless situation. Then we're also going to hear the last half of the conversation we did have the next day after the protest. That was the Friday after the Thursday, about a week ago, when Martine Bernal, instead of talking to the group of us at the protest, as we had suggested and invited him to do, he instead showed up in what he thought was a small meeting with some of us. It was fairly small. I think there were five or six of us who showed up, and we sat in the city council conference room, which is where, at least in the old days, they used to hold the closed sessions of City Council. It's the room right behind the broader city council chambers, that those who are addicts of and victims of the Santa Cruz City Council meetings are probably all too aware of. Anyway, we're going to be getting into that, going to be hearing some more interviews, and the usual shots from the side and analysis by me. And, of course, hopefully in the future by you. You can always call in and leave your thoughts, not during the show because we don't have a phone line. These are pre-recorded shows. But I will take your information and pass it on if you'd like. The number to call to leave a message is 423-4833. Message line, I think it's about 2 minutes long, maybe a little longer, kind of like the city council's Terrazas time limits. But I'll give you more if you really want to talk about things that are relevant to the issues I'm concerned about and or else newsworthy in the community generally. The number again, 423-4833.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So last Sunday we left Martine Bernal. And this is the conversation on Friday, the several days before that I recorded, essentially responding to activist Steve Plaich, Phil Posner, and Keith McHenry, as well as Nick Whitehead. And there were several other people in the room, including Jesse, the only homeless man there, Gloria, and Jean, a woman who almost single-handedly fed the Occupy movement during its fat time in the spring of 2011, or I should say the fall of 2011. And all in all, we spent an hour with Bernal. And this is actually, we're starting about half hour into the discussion, which you can catch the early part of by going back to the show, the prior show, which I believe you can find, and this is, if you go to the Huff website under latest shows, you may actually find that if you go to the July 1st show. It's generally true that's not a good place to go to get these shows because we have a defective kind of transferring service, and we're not sure why this happened last fall, but it did. And so what we're doing is we're manually recording the shows and are putting them up on the lost shows section of our Huff website, which you can find if you go to the HuffSantaCruz.org website. HUFFSantaCruz.org. In any case, we're going to pick up where we left off, more or less. I just want to comment beforehand, not to be a party pooper, but pun not really intended. This was about opening up the San Lorenzo bathrooms and the Loudon Nelson bathrooms, which are perfectly usable. They've been locked and closed. The Loudon Nelson ones are open only to the clientele of the Loudon Nelson Center participating in specific events there. And it's not yet clear to me how that criteria is clarified. So, for instance, if we come in and we look at the billboard, or they used to have a sort of an electronic billboard saying what events were happening in what room, say, oh, well, we're going to this event. We're going to be there. Can we please let us use the bathroom? Give us the code, because they have now codes, as I understand it, in Loudon Nelson. And it's going to be interesting to see if they let people go in and use those bathrooms. We're thinking of doing some tabling outside of Loudon Nelson. That was discussed today at the Conscience and Action meeting that we had Usually we meet every other Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe, but today we met off-site because of the holidays, and we'll be back at the Sub Rosa in 2 weeks on next Wednesday, the 28th of July. Also, there'll be a Huff meeting next week where Huff will decide if we want to wildfire and take our own actions around the bathroom situation. You can join either Huff or Conscience in Action by going to the Sub Rosa at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays, generally speaking. So keep that in mind if this issue interests you. As I said, we're going to join Martine Bernal's conversation with us at the Conscience in Action meeting that we just had earlier today, because that's when we had our most recent meeting. We kind of reviewed the Bernal discussion, and we generally kind of came to the conclusion that he was managing us, handling us, and not really, well, he was refusing to open the San Lorenzo bathrooms and the Loudon Nelson bathrooms. There was some discussion about whether he would open the porta-potties or put in porta-potties where they've been taken out in San Lorenzo Park, or add porta-potties to Loudon Nelson, you know, not letting the homeless people into the first-class facilities, but giving them the doghouse facilities in the back, you know, that sort of thing. You know, it worked in the South for 100 years. Why wouldn't it work in Santa Cruz? I mean, you know, we're in a new in darkened era, so it seems like an appropriate thing to do, perhaps, although it does doesn't quite fit in very well with the, you know, all of us are equal, Obama was the president, so all racial problems are resolved. Santa Cruz has no racial discrimination by its police force, yet another fairy tales that you get told and sold by city authorities if you don't watch out. Anyway, I felt this meeting with Bernal was only relevant to show essentially how really unresponsive to basic needs he was and how disingenuous he was. Although he was just very careful not to make any commitments. He didn't. What was interesting was he didn't tell us, as I mentioned earlier in the show, he didn't tell us that he was, if Phil Posner's information is correct, leaving town the next day for a month for vacation. He didn't say nothing's going to be done for a month, which would have been an honest thing to say at the beginning. It might have saved us all some time. I mean, I tried to ask him some really straight, simple questions, such as, are you going to open the bathrooms? No. Are you going to provide evidence? Maybe. These are kind of the answers he gave. Evidence of why you closed them in terms of so-called vandalism and the costs and complaints and, I don't know, criminal behavior or things that would be the basis for such a rather serious closure of a previously accessible public resource and one that's traditionally been used by the community. And the answer to all these was really kind of unresponsive. I've already put in public records requesting specific records because we don't seem to be able to get responsive answers from either him or his direct subordinate, Carol Skurich, who's the interim head of Parks and Rec. Anyway, enough of me. Here you can hear what Martine Bernal himself and the group of people seeking to get the bathrooms open, but kind of wandering off onto side lanes, partially because I think there's a belief that if only you chum up enough or you raise issues with, you know, a powerful individual in the city, you're going to maybe either, if not ingratiate yourself, at least show the community that you're a reasonable person before you start shouting more loudly or carrying bags of poop into the city council or whatever. Extreme measures, and some people have proposed these things, later get taken either by your group or by some other group, because people have to take a shit somewhere. They have to piss somewhere. And if it's continuing to be ignored, people do what they have to do. Let's hear what kind of doo-doo Martine Bernal did.
Again, wherever we can, our focus, you know, the other thing that we have to...
This is Martine Bernal.
...have to balance, too, is that we have, you know, limited resources in terms of the number of projects that we can work on. And right now, we're really focused on trying to increase shelter capacity, which, again, provides the day services, the sanitation facilities, both showers and storage and all that. And so our focus is on trying to have more of that. So
I didn't hear you answer my question, though. What do you Phil think Posner. Of the idea of a task force of people from the city and some of us activists to sit down and see what if there's some solutions?
Yeah.
And in a way, I'm kind of glad that Burnell essentially, as you'll hear, essentially said no to this idea. But the idea, the ridiculous claim that he has to close the bathrooms because they're too busy working on shelter solutions for a small minority of homeless people is pretty preposterous. Unless he wants to show evidence of huge expenses, or he wants to admit that they're doing this based upon, as Carol Skurich seemed to suggest, I don't know, some three groups withdrawing their funding, renting a room at Loudon Nelson or some such, or holding their event there because they were uncomfortable with homeless folks there in terms of, I guess, around the bathroom. Skurich was not too specific about that several weeks before when we confronted her outside her office, or she actually came out to speak to us. Again, people are, for my money, what we want to do is demand answers and show that either the city is refusing to give them or has taken decisions that really are unpalatable to the conscience of the community. That's one of the reasons I like the name Conscience and Action, if we actually can do some action to activate the conscience. Here's more.
I guess what I'm saying is right now, I mean, I'm open to good suggestions and ideas, but I think right now the staff is really prioritized and focused on the bigger effort of trying to get more shelter capacity.
When I say Burnell is deceptive, I mean I don't think it's true that he is open to good ideas or to honest discussion of the actual implications of shutting off bathrooms, of telling people who are old and disabled that they have to walk many blocks to get to a porta-potty that maybe probably is ADA inaccessible, or to other bathrooms that may or may not be open, of the very few that are available in town, why these particular bathrooms should be shut down, particularly when they are at the same time building a fence or have built a fence around Loudon Nelson and have established new rules that specify it will be a violation of the rules and the basis for being banned or told to leave. If you have unattended property, your property may be confiscated. So if you try to leave to go to the bathroom somewhere else and you leave your property there, not only is it a risk that might be stolen by, I don't know, independent entrepreneur thieves, it would be stolen by the police department, Parks and Rec, or even the Loudon Nelson management. I mean, these are questions that really he needs to be confronted with, and he won't be unless we confront him repeatedly with these questions. But instead, it was a sort of a, well, we have these ideas. How about a task force? Oh, no, that's not a good idea. That essentially means more talking while people try to, you know, hide in the bushes and take a dump there. I mean, it's really kind of disgusting, the whole situation, as far as I'm concerned. But hold your gorge and continue to listen.
And I think if right now that is taking up everybody's time, that and a number of other things. And so I just don't think we have the capacity right now to deal with it. I think
consider the capacity to open up bathrooms that were open previously. They've got the capacity to hire many new rangers. They've got the capacity to set them out on the streets, giving people tickets for sitting against buildings and for sleeping at night or being in a park after dark, but not for essentially dealing with issues like public bathrooms. And the answer here really, I think, is, it seems to me, they are trying to make this an unwelcoming city for poor and homeless people. And one of the ways they do this is by cutting back on public facilities or responding to those whose worldview is basically get them out of town, get them out of sight, get them out of the public areas where I have to go.
You know, as soon as we get past trying to increase shelter capacity, and the great thing about it is there is fiscal resources from the state that I think hopefully will make a big difference. So, again,
Councilman Crone told me that he heard that you guys, that the city was going to put out more porta potties.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is we opened up those and we're still.
And note, when Phil Posner says, "Okay, well, you got more resources. How about more porta potties?" He says, "Oh no, we've already opened some." What he means is the porta potties that were locked during the day that are downtown, two of them on Cedar Street, one of them across from the Red Church and the other across from the Cafe Bene, that area, are going to be open 24 hours. As far as I know, that's still somewhat problematic, although I haven't got really clear reports on that yet. One of my main sources, Brent Adams, who has been following this with the Bathroom Task Force, has been difficult to talk to because he's worried about being, frowned upon by the authorities that be. And I really have a hard time with that. I feel like someone who has actually been out there working on these issues, as Brent Adams has, and those of you who have heard his accounts on previous shows, know how specific he gets about the particulars that he has videoed and discussed with homeless people and found out from them locally, and it's really a valuable resource. He's now going to muzzle himself because he wants to make, hopefully, get in at the trough so he can, it's not even to enrich himself, I'm sure I don't think he's doing this primarily for his own benefit, but on the basis of the notion that if only he is, he is low enough and quiet enough and respectable enough, he can become part of the establishment. And that establishment can help homeless people better. He probably can, but the problem with that kind of a rationale is that the establishment tends to alter the people that join it. They may have to make the compromises that pander to the most bigoted in the community, or those who fear the most bigoted in the community, or those who are funded by the most bigoted in the community.
Open to doing more. We just have to be able to be thoughtful about where to put it, making sure that.
Are they disabled accessible?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
So are you telling us that you are going to talk about opening that one bathroom, San Leandro or wherever, and also more porta potties?
Yeah, I'll follow up on San Leandro.
And more porta potties possibly.
I personally like what you were saying.
And here is something that Phil Posner made this comment today at the Conscience in Action meeting. He felt that, Martine's comment here indicates he's actually going to follow up on the issue of opening bathrooms, reopening the bathrooms at San Lorenzo Park. And I guess maybe that means installing porta potties again or some such thing. Or maybe, it would certainly be reasonable to reopen the San Lorenzo bathrooms, and way, way overdue. But the next day, Bernal left for vacation, and one of the things that this group did not do is tie him down, myself included, to a time schedule. And one of the reasons we didn't is, one of the reasons I didn't was, first of all, this isn't my meeting with Bernal, this is everybody's meeting, and I guess there were some in the room who already felt I was too antagonistic to poor Martine Bernal. And that, it's not that I need to sit back and please those people. But everyone, what I was doing was essentially being a creating a documentary of how Bernal is responding to this. And I do have my say. I have my say here. But Bernal needed to be held to a timeline. Will you be doing this in the next 2 weeks, in the next 2 months? How long are we have to have people kind of, hold their bowels while you make these, think about the expenses? And you're going to worry first about sheltering the small minority of people that are essentially now out at the River Street campground or barbed wire boneyard, as I call it, or maybe a somewhat larger group, still only less than a fourth of the homeless people in Santa Cruz. I mean, they'll get bathrooms. Or at least they'll get access to those kinds of facilities, porta potties, presumably, if this works. But what about everybody else? And what about in the meantime? No answers, and you don't get good answers without the good questions. So I'm to blame too.
Wait
a second. And more porta potties? You think that you'll be able to?
We'll look at that.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
But look at that when we didn't ask.
Well, so on that note, I know it costs the city money to buy more bathrooms.
This is Jesse, the homeless guy.
And that is a concern, I think, on the of everyone. I mean, I'm not immune to money. It's a factor, and I don't want to deny that, although I don't like being a slave to it, although it is what it is. And it, I like what you're saying about how perhaps nonprofits such as Food Not Bombs or others, because that is a non-residential kind of, and it's more of a businessy area than the Pacific by the clock tower, and that does help businesses be relieved of, I think, the burden. Mm-hmm. Having people going into their bathrooms and vandalizing their businesses, which is, I think, a gripe.
And what Jesse is doing here is he's referring to Keith McHenry's action in actually paying for a porta potty that he brought to the town clock several weeks ago because of complaints about Food Not Bombs, poo-poo and pee-pee, even though they, Keith and other workers there, claim that it's, they clean things up there. Clear, after every meal, every Saturday and Sunday meal, where they do their work from 4 to 6 and provide food for scores of people, over 100 usually, each meal at least. But the porta potty was removed several days later under pressure from the city, and Keith wanted to know how to do it because when he went in to try to get permits, they said there's no permit process. In essence, Martine Brunel said he wasn't going to allow that either. In other words, the city won't provide bathrooms, the city won't provide porta-potties, and he won't provide them. And so his answer to Phil Posner, which is, oh, we'll look into that, well, it has as much credibility as you think Martine Brunel has. And the idea that, but even the idea that poor people, charities should have to supply public facilities is ridiculous. And it plays into the narrative that, which I don't think is proven at all, that homeless folks are the people responsible in large part for whatever vandalism occurs, or that that vandalism is of such an extent and at such a cost that it outweighs the cost, both human and financial, of people having to crap outside and having the city and other people having to clean it up. Again, waiting for records that have been denied until on three separate occasions they have postpone providing any records. Well, they released some records, but the specific records around what particular actions resulted in the requirement that these bathrooms be closed have not been disclosed, and the latest delay date is until July 9th, so perhaps next week I can give you more information if I actually ever get it. In the meantime, don't go wee-wee and don't go poo-poo, or face possible charges or, you know, certain anxiety and possible humiliation if you happen to be outside.
The city probably has to put up with. And it's money that Keith or the nonprofit would be paying for that takes the burden off
this
of the taxpayers,
Jesse,
and the city of having to pay for. So I feel that for the porta potties, if nonprofits such as Food Not Bombs or other ones maybe are able to step up, that could be a win-win where the city and the nonprofits could work together.
Well, maybe some of it is just having individuals just be more aware. Because, for example, the ones on now they're open during, they'll be open during the day, and people maybe don't know. But the one that's at the next to the Locust Street Garage in the parking lot there, I mean, that's just a few blocks over from the clock. It's not very far away.
Right.
For example, again, those would be open now, as well as the ones in the parking garage. So maybe there's greater awareness than people can. Yeah.
But just can you help and give a larger number, a larger volume of bathrooms available as well?
Well, again, and then if there's a need to add another one there at that location, where it's an established location and, you know, it's not problematic, you know, that might work better.
That would be great, yeah. And then make sure.
Then trying to create a different location that maybe becomes, you know, another.
And the other thing is to really.
Again,
then Steve, come on, go ahead.
These are all good ideas. I wanted to talk a little bit about
Steve
revenue
Plage
in the longer term. We're now talking about the sugar tax, and that's supposed to raise, presumably, that passed $1 million, and it's supposed to be for community wellness, and we're really talking about community wellness here. And, you know, the presence of more bathrooms, the presence of hand-washing stations, all that really is community wellness issues. So it would be helpful to us, you know, if we could be involved in the process as it moves forward, because once this sugar tax passes, presuming it does, and once the revenue is going to be projected and generated, it would be nice to have some say as to how it's really apportioned. And if there's a lot of this we hear is a revenue problem. So we understand that the city has finite revenue to devote to finite services, and that makes sense. But if there's a possibility that there is going to be money that may be able to be apportioned to, you know, to more community wellness kind of things like this,
we
would love to be part of that process.
Right. Yeah, a couple of things. One is finances are a consideration, but it's not the predominant one, I would say, at this point in terms of, because, you know, portable restrooms.
And this is what we call sliding off the issue. Plaich, who has been big on getting on boards of directors of bodies in which he then does very little, at least that's been my general impression, whether it's the ACLU, the MH CAN board, the Santa Cruz Community to Combat Racism, Community Coalition to Combat Racism, and I think there are several others too, but you can rack up all these board seats, and the question then is what you do and how transparent you are. And I have not been happy with what's happened with Steve there. But, you know, again, Bernal isn't even answering the question that he or an earlier Phil Posner proposes. Well, how about a little task force? Not that I think a task force is worth a shit. I've seen this kind of thing happen. I saw it happen 20 years ago when Christopher Crone headed a task force to establish bathrooms, although it wasn't a citizen task force, it was a staff task force. And they actually set up five porta potties that within 3 or 4 years were all removed. I think one was out by the lumber yard, one was in back of what is now Joe's Pizza in the parking lot there, and there was another in one of the parking lots, and there were a couple of others around town. I think at some point some of them were vandalized, or they were used for, the claim was they were used for prostitution or something. There was always a good excuse for shutting them down. And it's not that these things don't happen in these places, but it's more that the need is pressing. And if you don't meet the need, you are you're treating people badly, very badly. And you're also treating community health badly. And why are you doing so? You'd rather spend lots of money on consultants and deals with developers than you would on the most obvious needs. That's also true, of course, with shelter and spending a lot of money on police and parks and rec rangers to harass people, ticket them, and try to drive them away as a strategy for, quote, dealing with homelessness.
You can add more, and right. We can certainly do that.
Well, it's good to hear you say that.
And
because
it's more of just trying to come up with a solution that, you know, that works. You know,
right.
That
yeah.
Where
exactly.
Where it doesn't become, you know, a problem with, for the area and for the users. So that really is, and that's kind of, we said, like, you know, actually at one point we did have all of them open, and we had problems at night with the parking garage ones. So that's kind of, we went to that arrangement. Mm. But again, I think with portable ones, you know, maybe we can look at them, have them be more ADA accessible. Because I would guess that some of them are not.
And I don't think that's true. I've never been aware of a time in Santa Cruz when anything but the parking garage across from New Leaf Market was open, and that was only for a 6-month period. So he's making claims that, as far as I know, are false. And then the problems that developed, as I've pointed out in past broadcasts, had to do with really, the fact that that was the only one that was open at night, and people were using it, and some people were using it for different purposes, of course, because, again, as I said before, people do not have private spaces to go to. But, you know, different proposals have been advanced. The one that Keith McHenry proposed, I believe, at this particular meeting was simply many more bathrooms and many more porta-potties. Phil Posner proposed guards and sign-ins, which I think is, that's not my choice. But simply to ignore this issue is something that we are fighting, and hopefully you listeners will be fighting too.
So things like that, you know, where it's working, can we expand, can we adjust or try different things? With portable bathrooms, there's more flexibility, I think, to do
that. I just wanted to support that idea because
this is Jean Perrano.
For 5 years I've lived across the street in public housing from San Lorenzo Park.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Hep C outbreak started. I don't have really any hard feelings towards folks who are disenfranchised and in some cases dysfunctional. But I observed when they put the first porta potty in, whoever from the city put it in, they just put it right down the center path, and that didn't stay there very long. And then they moved it. There's the pond, and then there's a patch of green, and and as it developed, they figured out to put the wash station. And I do believe they had at least one that accommodated
people
with disabilities.
Yeah, they have those, and we have those.
They were really overall necessary and well used by the homeless folks, you know. So, you know, porta potties are a quick solution now.
And these were the porta potties that were put in around the time Mills and the former Parks and Rec director Garcia essentially okayed the San Lorenzo campground, which about 70 or 80 people or more people used. And these were porta potties that were immediately removed. I think they were immediately removed right after the city shut down that campground and set up the much smaller barbed wire boneyard campground on the outskirts of town. Again, it seemed to me as an attempt to pander to fear and prejudice in the community. I really don't think there's really much doubt about that. But in fact, so we're talking about bathrooms that for a while were used to meet the needs of the people who were actually sent to this campground by the police chief, who suggested that that was a better solution than sleeping and crapping in front of stores downtown, which was the only alternative people had. Or, heavens to Betsy, being at City Hall, where they've locked the bathrooms as well as part of the Freedom Sleepers. His idea was to clear out the homeless from the city to, you know, the benefit, supposedly, of the businesses, and to ease the anxieties of tourists, if that's what they had. And then simply to move them away from San Lorenzo Park in sort of a series of... I don't know how calculated the moves were, but they may well have been, because something similar seemed to have happened in Eureka, where he was previously police chief. Never really got a straight story from him on that, nor really a clear account from Eureka. And who knows, maybe I never will, but if I ever do, I will pass it on.
And where their place, that's why...
Yeah, we have to be really thoughtful, because they can become, you know, a place where people do other activities. Yeah.
But they also have to be placed where they're needed. Like right now, for example, above the highway,
Phil Posner,
above Ross, there's nothing available for homeless people. So that's
The homeless services center.
You can't walk across the street. If you have to take a crap and you're going to wait for the light of one and go down.
You can go on the path.
Yeah.
That's a long walk for people like the. That's the thing. So one of the things, like for instance,
Keith McKenna,
when I send people over to the portable toilet close to the post office, really, the thing that most people then come back and complain it was locked. And
those have been locked during the day.
Yeah.
They won't be anymore.
Yeah, so that's like pretty frustrating. So you can't.
For now, and like I said, I told the staff, you know, open them up and hopefully it'll go fine. And
the talk at the porta potty that they're talking about is. The one on Cedar Street across from, I say the Cafe Bene, I think that's generally where it is. Previously, until a few weeks ago, locked during the day, supposedly unlocked at night at 10 p.m. And Keith McHenry is saying that people tried to use that and they would still find it locked at least some weeks before.
What about my suggestion that people have to sign in, like at Loudoun? If someone wants to use the bathroom, they have to sign their name, and then they're given the key number to go in. That allows you the security.
The border ones don't have. You mean at Loudoun Center?
The Loudoun Center right now, the bathrooms require a key. My suggestion is that
they are getting a keypad for them.
Right, they already have it. That my suggestion is that. Anybody who wants to use that keypad has to. This is a compromise. I don't like it, but it's a compromise. The people go to the desk, and they sign their name. I want to use the bathroom. So the person there has the person's name. They're given the key. They use the bathroom. It allows you at least some sense of, allows all of us, some sense of security that the place is going to be used. I'm only giving this as an example of why I think there should be a task force where some of us and some of you all sit down and talk about ideas how to resolve this problem.
And again, this plays into the narrative that there is a real problem, a documented problem at the Loudoun Nelson and the San Lorenzo Park bathrooms. Now, it's true, there's probably prostitution, there's probably drug use, there's probably occasional people washing their hair in the sink, things that have happened before. And as facilities get cut back in the city, as the meals were cut back at the Homeless Lack of Services Center in the summer of 2015, and as police and rangers become more hostile to homeless people downtown in the sense that they are driving them further away and threatening them with more citations and responding to complaints in that regard, although it had been my hope that based upon the commentary of Andy Mills that he was not going to be doing this, but I don't know that that actually is really the result. Andy, call home, and we can talk more about it. But in any case, the narrative here is that there's all these problems that resulted in we had to make a behind-the-scenes decision, we being the staff, to close down all these bathrooms. And that's that. And that's just really how it is. And gosh, ain't it a shame. But there you go. In other words, there's no public process involved. There's no real discussion. In a way, I mean, it's what Phil Posner is trying to do is to open up this to a public process by proposing this task force. And if you want to be generous, you say Steve Plaich is doing the same thing, saying with this additional funding coming in, you want to have, you know, people involved from the community in this. And Bernal doesn't want to give up power to those groups, I don't think. He wants to maintain power with the people he has hired or long-term hires in the city who are under essentially his direction or the direction of his subordinates, which would be fine if they were actually meeting the needs of the community, but they're not. They're outraging some of us in the community by how they're behaving. And here's more.
Which will also give a greater sense of importance to the homeless people that they're being considered. Right now they feel totally voiceless.
I agree with the proposal for a tax.
This is Nick Whitehead.
Especially on the grounds of public health. I'm really concerned about public health. Many, many seniors have medical conditions that if they can't relieve themselves promptly, medical complications.
Right. And that's why our priority is to have appropriate facilities for people to go, not just for bathrooms, but to shower and to get help.
Yeah.
But apparently, their San Lorenzo and Loudoun Nelson are not appropriate unless you are looked up and down by the management of the Loudoun Nelson and found to be okay. And San Lorenzo Park, I guess you just got to supply your own facility now. And why? I keep wanting to know the real reason for this question. And I guess a number of people in the group that I'm with, this Conscience and Action group, are, if they're not buying into the narrative that, oh, this vandalism and, oh, there's other these illegal behavior problems, drug use and so forth, that's a good justification, or at least it's justification enough to shut these bathrooms down that we have to somehow address and accept as part of the narrative. I don't accept that. I think bathrooms are a primary need, and Bernal is saying they are, but he's refusing to reopen them, and he's refusing to put anything up in their place, although he said he will consider porta-potties. Well, let the consideration begin.
To, you know, beyond just bathrooms, that is really our focus, so that people don't have to sleep in stoops or
the day center concept.
I appreciate.
Yeah, that is our focus, and, mm-hmm. and again, it's not that I'm not sympathetic to people's in bathrooms, but really that has to be our priority, and we have to take advantage of it because there's going to be quite a bit of money from the state coming down, and I think if we can build facilities that have, you know, what you're talking about, in addition to showers and places people just store their stuff and all that.
No, it sounds
that's
good.
That's much better. So that is our focus.
But that doesn't answer why they have to close bathrooms now. He is posing a false dilemma. There is no reason to close the bathrooms now, other than simply maybe to keep a closer watch on them if you're really concerned about these illegal behaviors. I mean, I can speculate that, well, maybe he's trying to make sure the community doesn't turn against the homeless on other issues. That's something that the old mayor, Mike Rotkin, years ago used to say, that the reason he had to support the sleeping ban was because if he opposed it, he'd be voted out of office immediately. And he thought the sleeping ban was an okay plan. That's the law that makes it criminal for homeless people to sleep at night. Still in the books in Santa Cruz and still enforced at different points. It's not clear. Actually, instead of its being enforced, they're enforcing other ordinances that essentially have the same impact if you're trying to sleep at night and you're homeless, like being in a park after dark, because there are very few places to sleep. If you're on private property and you have no place to go on private property, you'll get a trespass, a citation, which is essentially, it amounts to the same kind of police harassment. But again, the notion that you have to do one thing or the other is simply a false series of dilemmas. It's being used instead to ignore why the hell did you close the bathrooms. Give us, please, the specifics and reopen them right away. Please, immediately, unless you can show some real specific fiscal consequences that are make it worthwhile to keep the bathrooms closed, considering the costs of running around cleaning stuff up outside the bathrooms and the health consequences of that.
Being very cooperative, I appreciate that, but I still think there's something hanging in the room, which is a citizen's what did you call it?
I call it a task force.
A citizen's task force. We don't want to dominate that task force. It should be drawn from...
I think it's a late addition here.
Gloria.
And Gloria joins the group.
Drawn from different parts of the community. But we need more democratic participation in problems like this. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you know, if the city is not going to be a little more cooperative on things like this, I'm looking at the legal aspect. The government code on public accessibility to facilities that are necessary for health and comfort reasons. I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing that, but it would head there, you see. It would head in that direction.
Excuse me.
If there was a drop-off of your present cooperative position.
The reason I'm here, Martin, I mean, I task force, as far as I'm concerned, they've had task forces from here to there. And if you want to create another task force, that's fine, and it's good, and that's, I support my associates here. We came here to get the bathrooms open tonight, today, this weekend, for the people who need to use the bathrooms, not in a month, not after the election, when there's funding for this. You have bathrooms that are sitting here, right outside here, at Loudon Nelson and in San Lorenzo, that you can open tonight if you want. You call Carol Skurich, you say, look, there seems to be a need. We don't want to have to wait till the shit's piling up outside the bathroom, because that is not the way to go. But what other options are you going to give people other than that? And that's why I've come here essentially to ask you to do that. Are you prepared to do that?
Again, it's not like we don't have any facilities. I mean, there's literally 7 bathrooms open downtown.
It's not enough.
So the answer is no, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think...
And his claim that there are 7 bathrooms is simply false. There are 0 bathrooms open after 10 o'clock at night. He has said there will be 3 porta-potties available at different places in town. There are bathrooms open during the day at the Metro. Bookshop Santa Cruz has a visitor's bathroom if you aren't under the interdict of the Coonerty clan, as some of us are. There's the homeless lack of services bathrooms, which apparently Bernal tells us are open during the day if you can get past the guards and the gate and have your ID in order and that sort of thing. And there may be one more. But the issue we had was the actual closing of these particular bathrooms seems to be surrendering, this is at least my sense, to an evil and false narrative about the homeless. And it's part of the menace narrative that former Deputy Chief Steve Clark and others in the police department and Take Back Santa Cruz and Santa Cruz neighbors and the Downtown Association essentially buy into as well in order to pass laws that severely restrict the rights of the entire community in public spaces, but are designed to give selective enforcement powers to the police to go after homeless people.
They're available, and it's not like people are waiting in line, not able to get into them, you know, all the time.
Well, Chris, he was telling you they are.
Yeah,
There's all my friends
are all standing in line waiting to use the one toilet at Locust Street. I've got another group of friends that are standing in line waiting to use the Soquel bathroom. And then I have friends that they go into the Soquel. I have one friend go to the Soquel bathroom. He brought his bicycle in there. He spent nearly 40 minutes being ticketed for his bike. And then a couple of days later, that gets me back to my point,
which is what people need is not just a bathroom, but they need a place.
Where they can do well.
In the interim, that's what.
Yes,
they need.
Yeah.
Public.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I was able to get a bathroom to the post office in less than 24 hours. I had that there.
Keith is talking about when he actually funded a bathroom, or I should say, a porta potty. Bathroom is quite different than a porta potty, in my view. It's disabled accessible. It's larger. It's lit. you know, if necessary, you can bring your bike in the damn bathroom because people are afraid of losing their property. So there.
I raised money to pay for it every month for a year. I got it there within 24 hours. All the people in the neighborhood asked me to do it. I went and did it.
And that's a perfect example. Where we could work together to solve the problem.
Well, if you can get the neighbors there to say be okay with it, you know, and let me know. Then.
Yeah, they're demanding it. I mean, and we heard from the post office.
Have them send a letter or email.
Okay. Yeah, because they even went to the point.
Because that's not what I heard, but anyway.
Well.
And I would be surprised in the extreme if Bernal actually made good on that promise. But I'm ready to be surprised. I don't know if it's a promise or that statement he just made. And it'd be interesting to see if Keith, aside from wearing himself out cooking, I want to say around the clock, but it feels like he's racing to get all these things done. He cooks not only for Food Not Bombs, but also for different events that Food Not Bombs serves at. Whether he can also run around and get petitions that suggest people want a bathroom there, and then Bernal would review it, all the while people hopping from foot to foot as they try to hold their load. Well, let's see if he does. But, you know, I don't think we can really wait for that.
They put up a fence and advertise that the reason they put up the fence is because it wasn't a bathroom there.
The folks are, you know, are
he's talking about the post
there.
Office.
Yeah, they're demanding a bathroom.
Is that the main reason that Loud Nelson was closed? Because complaints from some members of the community?
No. I mean, that's part of it. But, no, there was some actually pretty horrible experiences there with the people that are using Loud Nelson, the people that go to Loud Nelson, whether it's the seniors, whether it's the kids.
And groups didn't want to use it. ACLU didn't want to use it anymore because of his problem.
No, the ACLU, that's not exactly, no, Phil, that's not what the ACLU
said. That's not exactly right.
The ACLU, and Steve can speak to this.
The ACLU didn't like
the policy of setting up fences around the whole park to harass the homeless.
Okay, but that's a whole different issue.
But it was part of the whole policy of essentially excluding people from the bathroom.
So I think,
again, it's a suspicion.
And unfortunately, again, what's moved away from, or what are the particulars? What are the concerns? Are they mighty or are they mini? And have they been exaggerated or are they truly something that we really need to consider? If they really are important, then certainly they can be discussed. But notice they don't get discussed. And the records that I've requested don't mention them in particular. And Martine Bernal just says some pretty bad things, some pretty horrible things, but he doesn't say what they are. Why? If, in fact, they justify the closing of bathrooms.
The issue of use is not the problem. Some people use it for different reasons. And so if people are using it for the purposes of simply using the bathroom, fine. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, if you go in and you use it, that's fine. But I think what's happening and what causes the conflict is some individuals do use it to take drugs.
Well, and
then what ends up happening is you have the vandalism and or the you know, defecation, even in the bathroom, that's, you know, in the walls all over the place, the blood, mm-hmm. and that's or people.
And of course, how many times has this happened? How frequent is it? Has there been an upsurge of this in the last couple of years? Particulars is something what I'm looking for and haven't yet received.
People just lock themselves in there, and they won't let other people use it. And so you've got, at Lyle Nelson, kids who need to use a bathroom and can't because somebody's locked themselves in the bathroom.
And I've given you, I think, a fairly good solution for that.
But there is a security guard who wanders around harassing homeless people who, if this had happened, could walk over and knock on the stall and say, hey, time to come out. Or unless they're too busy ticketing people for unattended property outside, of course.
Well, people sign in. You can do that at City Hall,
again,
and you can do that at Loudoun.
And that's not going to motivate them to behave, because I think, again, it's a huge problem that, you know, drug use, unfortunately now, you know, when people are under the influence, they don't think rationally. I mean, that would work if it was a person, you know, was you know, thinking rationally. And they just don't. And I'm not trying to be judgmental of them or anything like that, but when you're under the influence, you...
And yet the policy is incredibly judgmental, and it impacts and hurts not just those that they wish to punish, it hurts everyone. And it hurts particularly people who have the greatest need to use bathrooms.
You act in a way that you wouldn't otherwise.
What about injection centers? Is the city coming in any way close to what San Francisco is doing with injection centers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a health department issue in the sense that, you know, the city doesn't run the health. In San Francisco, they run the health department there.
Well, I don't.
That's not.
And of course, that's Gloria who's asked the question. What about, since drug use seems to be a problem, injection centers where people can go to inject their drugs, as is reportedly opening this summer in San Francisco. And it's true, San Francisco, city and county is one jurisdiction, so both the county and the city are sort of combined in the governmental body, the Board of Supervisors. And here you have two bodies. You have the Board of Supervisors, which checks over the county, and the City Council, which checks over the city and the city staff. But that doesn't mean that the city staff can't make recommendations around this issue, that the city council can't take action to urge this to happen. The city council in the past has had a public use of medical marijuana back in 2002 in support of Valerie Corral's Wham. You know, Santa Cruz could choose to be a leader rather than hiding its head. I'm tempted to say in the toilet, but there's no toilets apparently available for that, at least not at Loudoun Nelson Center. That's where they should be hiding their heads if they're refusing to take, you know, actions that could actually make some real changes, and also, or at least in a sense, make some statements that about the value and importance of those kinds of actions and sort of lay the groundwork so for a different kind of narrative.
City...
I'll
function.
Just say
we
this.
We don't operate health services.
In regards to the rationality...
This is Jesse, the homeless guy.
And this isn't even just me. Like, Gregory Bateson in his book, Substance Ecology Man, points out in his theory of schizophrenia, it's like there's an element of trust involved in that perhaps the parents, in this case, in just a typical example he uses, the parents of a schizophrenic child are saying, like, maybe I love you, but then acting in a way that's not conveying that. So what you're saying is not matching up with what you're doing. And I kind of feel that by a lot of the big problems with people in schizophrenia on the streets or with using drugs or whatever is you're not being treated maybe like a rational, sane person or trusted to be act like a normal person. Mm-hmm. And that just allowing them to sign in, which I don't know how efficacious that would honestly be, I don't feel that that's a fair thing to rule out. Okay, a person is not going to sign in or honor that because they're going to behave irrationally and use drugs. because they may or they may not.
And again, if you look at the rules, and there are two single space pages of conduct under four subsections here. Conduct that interferes with a comfortable and welcoming environment, conduct that interferes with accessibility and safety, conduct that does not ensure a safe and secure environment, conduct that does not maintain a health and clean and healthy environment. One of these is lying down or appearing to be sleeping, having feet on furniture or blocking aisles, exits, or entrances, bringing into the center personal items with total dimensions exceeding 65 inches, setting up blankets or bedding with the intention to camp anywhere on the premises. And I'm blocking aisles or walkways with personal property or leaving personal property unattended. Note, unattended items are subject to immediate removal. Sounds pretty specifically directed against folks who are carrying a lot of property with them. But you be the judge.
And I feel like maybe giving
so you're
an element of trust and respect would also, along those lines, engender it back.
So you like the idea or you don't like the idea of signing?
He likes
it. Well, I don't know if I like the idea. I just don't like, I dislike the idea of thinking a person is not rational, yeah, or they're on drugs, and therefore they wouldn't do it, or it wouldn't work for them, because I think it would work for them just as much as any other person, because I really think, although we may have our own differences, in a way, mm-hmm, the human mind is the human mind. And so treating everybody with a certain degree of respect or dignity and accountability would create some equality and help along those lines, and I feel it may mitigate those concerns of yours about, well, they'll be on drugs and they won't really follow suit when they actually may be doing drugs because, you know, they're not being treated with a degree of respect or trust to begin with.
Well, what I'll do is I'll follow up with the staff over in Parks about.
So just
we're about to finish, right?
Yeah, just a quick.
So would you do us after?
Yeah, really quick. In China, they've instituted some new public toilets. And one of the things is, as an example, if a person stays in there beyond 18 minutes rather than signing in, a buzzer goes off to alert someone that they've...
Well, one of the things that actually we considered, and maybe the council, they asked whether maybe we can have bathroom monitors.
Councilwoman, what you call it?
Yeah, yeah, and we at one point we had talked to the downtown streets team about whether they could do that. Again, it's not the issue of funding necessarily. You know, they basically right now what they told us is, you know, we're busy and focused on their other work and aren't able to do that.
What about first alarm? Because I remember when we slept.
I'm really not clear what the other work of the downtown street team is. Or whether they can't, I mean, it seems like such a serious matter to close bathrooms that have been open since time immemorial, at least in this town, without opening alternate bathrooms in the same area. And doing so along with a number of other anti-homeless measures, I'm afraid I'm just repeating myself. So I'll just let this play out and maybe make a few comments afterward.
The downtown street scene?
Yeah. So I remember when we were here, sleeping out, we were, and I've seen this in other parts, even when it wasn't part of the protest, you would have first alarm come by and wake everyone up and make them all move all their stuff, like into the rain and things, over and over again. And there's like they're paying like a certain amount of money already to have first alarm go around and tell people to move. That they can also add to that, besides waking people up and telling them to move, go to the bathrooms every 30 minutes. They can have that like they do with others, like the first one does at apartment buildings. And they punch a little thing, and it shows that they went by every 30 minutes to the bathroom. And if first alarm can't get the person to stop using the bathroom, which most likely first alarm can, then they can call the police and have the person arrested for not leaving the bathroom. So you could have, like, first alarm could have its contract slightly changed so that along with waking up homeless people and forcing them to move to different locations, they could also go to every bathroom on a pattern. Right. So that's a few $100,000 a year that we're not taking advantage of.
We tried that in the parking garages, and that didn't work because they got really confrontational, some of the incidences, unfortunately, to where actually they're like, we don't want to do it. The personnel didn't want to do it because they thought it was just too confrontational because every time they had to call police. And,
I don't think anyone wants to be police for the food thing.
So part of the thinking was that maybe the monitors can be inside and just
sit there like in other countries, like at all the bathrooms.
Yeah,
the rest of the
was, that was some of the thinking maybe. But again, that works only with some bathrooms and others. So. It's a really difficult one, again.
But they built like a big bathroom, like in almost every other part of the world that I've ever been to. I don't think there's any part of the world I've been to that didn't have this, where you have like these large public bathrooms where there's like 20 stalls and there's washing spaces,
and
there's always a person in the door.
Right.
And when they wanted to economize, they would have the person sit in the door, and then you go left to the men's and the right to the women's, so they only had to pay one person to sit there, and they actually built that. You know, we have people here that are billionaires. They could.
Right. That's the idea with creating these. You know, the shelter facilities is that you can do that.
Yeah, but the issue.
And I'm a proponent for not just one in Santa Cruz, but we should have several. You know, because I think you don't want them to be huge either. You want them to be, you know, small, so people can create community and. And it's just, I think you can get better outcomes that way. I think it's also less impactful in the area if that's the case. But I agree that.
Yeah, you could have like a 2-stall for women and 2-stall for men with 2 urinals and a little building that looks really like with surfboards on it.
Well, I'm saying too, you can have one in San Lorenzo Valley, you can have one in Santa Cruz, you can have one in
Yeah, you can have one at one end of
Boxville.
Okay, so.
You could have one over, by the that little park. Across from the town clock, you could then have another one, like just around here. You could, in fact, put one in part of the.
There are bathrooms that are already existing here that are locked tonight. I mean, that's the point. That's why we're here. We're here because of the outrage about the Loudoun Nelson bathroom.
The issue there is the compatibility problems that we're having.
Okay, but we've tried to give you some suggestions. Anyway.
And what I said, I'll follow up.
Okay, so that's my final, if it's okay with the group. Would you summarize what you heard and what you're going to be able to do for us? Because I have to say, the last time I met with you, with Steve, when we were talking about the band, you never got back to us. We had a meeting.
About the band?
2 or 3 years ago when we were here, and there was a passionate discussion. Mm-hmm. You never got back to us. I want to leave here having some sense that Mark Bernal... tell us what you're willing to do for us. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
More porta potties.
I listed 3 things when I look at the San Lorenzo Park and the situation there with the bathrooms. 2 was whether we can have more portable bathrooms. I think the key there is where would be the appropriate locations.
Well, that's why I think homeless people should be involved in the suggestion.
And then 3, your suggestions. For Loudoun Nelson, where people have to sign up, I think is what you're suggesting.
Will anything be opened up in the next week? It isn't already currently open.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we opened up the 2 portable bathrooms that have been closed during the day, so we did add that capacity at least during the day. But otherwise...
And that's good. Thank you.
Well, what about disabled people? Like, you can't get into porta potties.
Yeah. Oh, we can look at that too.
What was that one?
Disabled people can't get into porta potties. But I guess the issue is looking into. Does that mean that doesn't mean you're going to do anything about it in the next week, few weeks? I mean, I'm looking to see when people ask me what is Van going to do anything? And I just want to be able to honestly answer.
Shut down for the
what the story
July.
Is.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. One is we're so focused on. And we have to prioritize, so we're really right now very much focused, because we have to, on creating additional shelter capacity and day use services. Storage, that's another one. So we've got a bunch of things that we're working on, and we have to prioritize. And
why does that prevent you from dealing with the bathroom issue? I don't understand.
It's because it takes time to have staff, obviously come up with...
Yeah, but what I think
some of these things would be relative. These that I listed are things. The reason why I listed them is they seem.
I have to say respectfully, right. I don't think you're hearing us on this one issue, and I think you would agree. The issue of shitting and peeing is an issue of suffering. The shelter, we all agree there needs to be more shelter. Mm-hmm. But we're asking you to prioritize the issue of people suffering. And you don't seem to be, you're talking about shelter. Robert's asking you about something right now immediate. And we understand that you can't go say, yeah, I'm going to open a bathroom tomorrow,
but
necessarily.
You can.
Well, maybe you can. But
again,
don't you agree that this issue is human suffering and not just shelter?
Again, we don't have zero bathrooms open. I mean, the things that we can do, we'll do. I mean, like, for example, opening up the ones that we have been closing that are portable. That's doable because it doesn't have those conflict issues. A lot of Nelson is more complicated
because right,
we want them accessible to everybody. And that has not been the case. And so whereas the other ones, I think we can do that without any problems. Library, you know, we work really hard to keep those open. They have problems all the time. But those, we've sort of committed to keeping those open. You know, again, the extending the bathroom hours and showers over at the Homeless Services Center, those are things that we've added. And so we have added capacity.
Why is Loudoun Nelson any different than the library? I mean, there's staff there. There's staff at Loudoun Nelson. And it's a much less trafficking, in a way, than there is at the library.
Also a ranger there.
So it seems to me, I have heard rumors from people who have been in the area that essentially, you have a reactionary staff that is responding to community pressure, essentially to drive away poor people with fences, with new regulations about don't sleep in these areas, don't sit here, don't sit there, don't leave unattended property, all this stuff which has nothing to do with public health and safety and everything to do with gentrification. Now, the reason that a lot of folks came here was specifically for the bathroom issue. Me too. But I work for this group, which is concerned with the broader.
Again, if people were using the bathrooms and it wasn't creating problems.
What's the difference between that and the library?
I think at the library, I don't think they have problems, but I don't think they've had as significant ones as
can you give us a listing later, not necessarily right now, but sometime in the next few days of the specific problems, including the dates of the problems, so we can be persuaded, go back to the people we know and say, look, Martinez is trying to do the best he can. Here are these problems that surely justify shutting down the bathroom so that elderly women have to piss on the lawn outside. I don't think it's going to work. But if you have a list of those, you know, then at least we'd know.
Yeah.
Now, I've said I've put in a Public Records Act request. It's been 3 times delayed. I've gotten some minor stuff back. But no indication of the problems that you kind of refer to vaguely that have resulted in the closing of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we don't spend a lot of time.
No, but I mean, you obviously have some sense about why that is. Someone made that decision. And they made that decision because of real activity, supposedly, mm-hmm. or feared activity. And that is, of course, our concern.
No, I mean, the people down there who work down there, I think, care a lot about the people that they serve. And I think.
Can we get that list from you?
I think they're very tolerant. That's my sense. And they go out of their way to be as helpful as they can.
Martin, can we get that list from you? I mean, I understand.
I don't know if it exists. I don't know if they have, like, a
can you ask for that list for us?
I can try to find out what they have.
Okay. You know, a woman in my building just retired this past year.
Mm-hmm.
She worked 20 years at Loudoun Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was asking her, it was like really opening up an old war wound. And she said a lot of the people, were repeat problems. I mean, there are people who come in, they use the bathroom, no problem.
Right.
But it's the people who repeat, you know, and,
right.
you know. The
yeah.
staff burns out.
Yes, I mean, yes. It's hard. I mean, again, the people who work there care. I mean, they're not being evil people. And I think if they wanted to, they would prefer to keep them open and to have everybody use them. But when it just got to the point where it was just so difficult. And again, we'll see how it works. I mean, I think there's a willingness to evaluate and reevaluate.
I will say this, though, in agreement with Robert, in regards to, I understand the closing of restrooms, if there was, like, sex or drugs and things happening, but you bring up really good points in when it's like you're starting to tell people, okay, you can't sit here, you can't rest here, you can't be here, you can't lie down here if you have nowhere to be. Then that does become issues of classism and gentrification, persecution. And while I don't think anybody aspires to be evil. Those little things, I think, become a slippery slope into doing wrong and to being an evil person. And that's stuff that can happen. Historically, I don't know of any context or case where that's led to better solutions for people in general and living happier lives or enjoying a better community as a whole. And that is evidence, I feel, of a persecutory or discriminatory attitude in regards to the relationships with people who are... I don't like saying this. I don't want to think of people as disenfranchised, but maybe a worse-off state who are trying to get into some leverage to better their lives also.
I think that's such a strong point that the inner, you know, like I know a lot of the Rangers are really compassionate. I mean, I have good friends that staff Love Nelson and have worked with the homeless and they staff it. But there is this attitude that, you know, the people on the streets feel like they're under massive pressure, disrespected, not appreciated, that they're just treated horribly. You can read it in the Sentinel comments. You can read it in there's people that go out and bash them with baseball bats, and then we expect the people to go, oh, this government, which has just woken me up three times last night, wants me to treat their bathroom well. You know, they're going to be frustrated, and if they're having almost any sane person spending any amount of time living outside in Santa Cruz and being woken up over and over again, it's going to start to go batty. You can be, I mean, I'm getting woken up during the Freedom Sleepers in the middle of the night by the cops and over again all night long. That the CIA does that to get information from people that they're torturing. And so... And then people are like sleeping in the middle of the day, and people are getting, you know, cops waking them up. So if we have respect by the city, like there's this massive, okay, these people are real people. There are many of these are born and raised here. There's like, you know, one of my friends, he's sixth generation.
Yeah. My sense is that, you know, I mean, there are people that are like the way you described for sure, who when they see a homeless person, they, you know, they see all of that thing. But I think also a lot of people in Santa Cruz, and I think it's most, because it's easy to get a work perspective and set more comments and all that sort of thing. But I think, you know, the average person does care about homeless, does want to help, does want to see people not be in those conditions. A lot of times people have experiences that sort of maybe warp their experience, their perception. And again, it's why I think we're really focused on trying to create, you know, facilities that are more appropriate, that are larger, that can address all these issues.
But along those lines, I think it's
we're
going to
bump the So can so am I asking too much? Am I asking too much if you will get back to us about San Lorenzo?
Right.
More porta potties with the issue of disabling. Loudoun, you like the idea possibly the sign up issue. And willing to find out if there's a list of events that have taken place that Robert can get. Are those fair?
List of problems that
Resulted in having
that resulted in the closure of the bathroom.
Okay, but I'm not going to ask people to create more work. I'm not going to ask them.
Okay, so on that one,
they're busy enough. And
so on that one, you're saying no.
I'll ask if something exists. Okay. If it exists, okay. What I'm saying, you know, I'm happy to share it, but. But, you know, I'm not going to ask them to go back and make a list.
Then you leave us with an alternative, then make a Public Records Act request, which requires them to provide all the documents. If they make a list of this is an obvious need, then I don't have to ask for more.
Robert, I think all you have to do is just, I mean, I think you just got to honk at somebody over there and know them and realize that they're not unreasonable people.
Reasonable people do evil things under an evil system. A lot of the people who were working in the German government
over there are totally
people working.
Before the bathrooms got closed, they were used by almost everyone. Mm-hmm. What happened?
For decades.
It just became problematic. I mean, and this has been something that...
But you're not giving us specifics. See, that's the problem.
Robert, please. The city manager gives us an hour, over an hour.
That's very nice, right. But I'm looking for the specifics around these issues. No, he said he was not. He's not going to ask them to create any new documents to
no.
do
that. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said.
Are you saying that? Are you saying you'll give us a list of the specifics?
We're going to ask if there's an existing list.
And if there's not an existing list, we won't be able to get a list. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so in other words, he's not going to do it.
And that, no.
Only, okay. No, only if it happens to be on the table will you pass it on to us.
Thank you
for
your time.
Thank you
very much. Thank you
for your time.
Have a good vacation.
Mark, do you think this is productive discussion?
Yeah.
The homeless everyone. For a long time. What happened?
For decades.
It just became problematic. I mean, and this has been something that...
But you're not giving us specifics. See, that's the problem.
Robert, please... The city manager gives us an hour, over an hour.
That's very nice, right. But I'm looking for the specifics around these issues. No, he said he was not. He's not going to ask them to create any new documents to
no.
do
that. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said.
Are you saying that? Are you saying you'll give us a list of the specifics?
We're going to ask if there's an existing list.
That's what he said.
And if there's not an existing list, we won't be able to get a list. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so in other words, he's not going to do it.
And that,
only if it happens to be on the table will you pass it on to us.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Have a good vacation.
Mark, do you think this is productive discussion?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's great that people want to solve the issue.
I'll think about how to...
Yeah, and then how to get a permit with, to put a toilet at the end of the...
I think that has some possibilities there.
Yeah. Are you trying to go with portable toilets?
That's a money for
And I took a number of notes, but really I think I said what needed to be said at the end of that meeting, actually at the meeting. Too bad we were so discordant in what we were presenting instead of simply pushing very specifically for the information we needed, which I think really is the key issue. But we'll see if some peripheral information came out, and whether he's going to provide more porta-potties, okay a sign-up list at Loudoun Nelson, look at access for disabled people, provide a list of what actually happened to produce the closing of these bathrooms. Where's the actual evidence that this is required? We'll see about that. In the meantime, it's time for a musical break. More than time.
This is a song about a very militant social movement that had its golden age in the beginning of the 17th century. Come all you sailors near and far, you honest men know who you are. All of you who dare be free, come bind with us upon the sea. Together we will drink a toast, ride the wind on down the coast, see the merchant ship aboard, raise a jar and swing a sword, watch to see the merchant captain crying when they see the black flag flying. War with Spain is over now, no more Jack over the bow. We fight for no one but our class, we're gonna kick some captain's ass. All you who live before you die, come give an honest life a try. Sail beneath the skull and bones, pay no heed to crowns and thrones. No more greedy princes lying when you come sail with a black flag flying. No more whips and no more chains, to live free or die is what remains. If life is too short either way, you might as well live free today. All for one and one for all, we'll board the ship and make the call. Join us, all you good men, and have your liberty again. Watch the crew now leave their captain frying as they come sail with a black flag flying. Thank you. Flying Robert's brave and true, and Mary Kelly's gallant crew. Seems to me the world is ours. Watch as the mighty Navy cowers. We have no nation but the sea, no creed but that we will live free. Loot and burn all that we can, that's run by a dishonest man. Their end is near, there is no denying. When they see the black flag flying, if I could predict the future, then I would. But all I know is this is good. 1720 is the year. There is nothing left to fear. We may live or we may die. Perhaps our destiny is nigh. I don't know what the end may hold, but I know these ships are filled with gold that was stolen from the poor as we lay dying. So let us sail with a black flag flying.
And that's David Robick's song, Black Flag Flying. Actually, on July 7th, there's going to be I think I mentioned this before in a prior broadcast, a broadcast from his Periscope channel at www.periscope.tv/drovics, where he will talk about his recent travels, July in history and song, and his plans for taking musical history on the road in the autumn, with a musical history tour. And all his songs are archived from this July in History and Song on YouTube. You can find it there under David Rovics. Check it out, Songs of Social Significance. He writes, 26 pirates publicly hanged on the gallows in Newport, Rhode Island on July 19th, 1723. This will be only one of many mass hangings of pirates that took place in the 1720s throughout the North Atlantic. In the course of the British Empire's efforts to put an end to the golden age of piracy, which was at the time having a tremendous impact on British transatlantic trade. To put this in some perspective, throughout the 17 years war between Britain, France, and Spain, which saw the tripling of the size of navies of all three countries, British transatlantic trade steadily grew. During the 6 years that the scholar is referred to as the Golden Age of Piracy, immediately following the 17 Years' War, British transatlantic trade barely stayed steady and did not grow at all. And that's the first time I've ever heard of the 17 Years' War. There were a lot of wars going on, and still are. So I'm not going to have the time that I'd hoped to play some of Wes White's video and audio, or actually the audio of the video, of the Thursday protest, which includes some, I think, really educational and touching narratives from folks who are outside. What I am going to play instead is the Foodnot Bombs narratives, is not quite the word, interviews, I guess, is the right word, that I did last, I guess it was a week ago now, nearly, and then perhaps turn back to that on the Sunday show, the more from the Thursday protest of a week ago. I guess the protests are so few and far between for on homeless issues that I seek to suck as much out of them as I can. There have been a lot of other protests, very notably against ICE's abuses. It's just it's really important that people keep in mind that ICE, the immigration control and enforcement agency, and its abuses started long before and continued through the Obama regime. In fact, they escalated. And while it's really a good thing if the Democrats are now coming around, there's no, for me, necessarily real assurance that they are. They just don't want, they're using it as a club to bash Trump, which I've always thought is a bad strategy. It's also misleading to the community, because I think the reason Trump is in power is because of the Democrats and their failure to address real issues ranging from foreign wars to income differential. And they, then they also put up a corporate candidate, Hillary Clinton, and rigged the Democratic primaries. So, I mean, come on. you're surprised. I wasn't surprised. And, of course, what we have to do is keep focusing on the real issues. And I don't know, what are the real issues? Well, I talk about some of the ones that concern me. I don't know what concerns you. The California Coastal Commission, here's an interesting point, is coming to town, actually to Santa Cruz, at the Hilton on July 11th through 13th in the morning, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And that's of interest to people, for example, who are concerned about, as, let's say, the Lapis Road people are, or were when they were on Lapis Road, the RV folks who were living on along Lapis Road, reported on by activists Becky Johnson and Amber, Wildfire, Wes White, Turbo. You may remember, I don't know if you remember these names, but that was some months ago. They were driven away from Lapis Road and also from other places. And some of them have huddled at a parking lot run by the supervisor, but really not enough to really deal with it. The issue of where RVs can sleep at night, can park at night, or during the day, because they have to be gone during the day. And the cities around Marina, Seaside, Pacific Grove, and I guess now Salinas have made it illegal to park the so-called oversized vehicles. Maybe we'll hear more about that from Wes or from Becky next Sunday. Don't know if we can get in touch with them or not. I do know that Wes is finally, after all my urging, and thank you for doing this, Wes, tells me he sent off a complaint to the Coastal Commission regarding the signage of the Lapis Road area, which essentially bans RVs or bans parking at night. And that, of course, is a way of denying coastal access, because I believe Lapis Road is in the coastal zone. And we were able to stop Rochelle Noroyan's anti-RV law in the city by going to the Coastal Commission and requiring them to get a coastal permit, which they still haven't done, and so they still haven't passed Rochelle Noroyan's RVs get out of town in Santa Cruz, or at least get out of town during the night in Santa Cruz. After all, you know, they might be harboring child molesters and things like that, or whatever. So that's coming up next week, July 11th through 13th, and I invite you to check that out. And to come back again for more information about the ongoing struggle to open bathrooms, for reopen bathrooms. Stop gentrification of Santa Cruz is really what it boils down to. And now let's turn to some interviews I took not too long ago. Last Sunday, in fact, on July 1st. Talking with, if you want to say,
Cheeto.
And Cheeto, your thoughts for today, what's your concern?
Well, nowhere to sit. I'm 54.
Alright. I mean, all the oil from the feet and soap and the back of the rain.
If you can't sit down, what do?
Keep standing, keep walking, go hide somewhere. Yeah.
So we should have a contest between the police officers and the homeless and see who can stand the longest.
I can't stand them, so what am I going to say?
We got practice.
That's true. That's true. Have you been hassled for being in a public area in the last week by police or rangers or first alarm?
They can't find me.
You are elusive.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, they can find me if they want to.
But they haven't so far.
No.
So you haven't gotten ticketed, you haven't got hassled?
We actually have security.
You have your own security?
Yeah, seriously.
What kind of, how large a group are you in, if you wish to say?
I'm not in an outlaw group. I abide by the law.
That's good. And you're chowing down the Food Not Bombs food, how is it?
Good. Good today.
But a lot of different colors there, potatoes, and I don't know what the hell that is. Grapes.
But, and then chopping down all the trees and then writing all those frivolous tickets, wasting trees for nothing but yellow paper that gets thrown away. I mean, everything's an infraction. That's fine and dandy. You can do jail for, you know, blinking or farting. But maybe spitting on the sidewalk, you know, hasn't came here yet, but it's in adjacent counties.
Oh, yeah. It's
legal. It's illegal in Santa Cruz. It's been on the sidewalk, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's that time.
Anyway, we've been talking with...
Cheeto.
Anything else, Cheeto?
I'm good.
Thank you, man. Should be the view. No problems?
Oh, yeah. Very positive.
How long you been in town?
A little over a week.
And where from?
Watsonville.
And have you found places to sleep at night? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been... I mean... There are available spaces, but it's kind of fun out here, to be honest.
It's a challenge, or...?
No, not at all. Not at all. Really? It's very inviting. I find Santa Cruz to be very welcoming.
Well, that's interesting. So, how does it compare with Watsonville?
I love Watsonville very much, but it just doesn't have the support system that Santa Cruz offers, as far as, like, the homeless community goes, and looking out for everyone like they do here.
What kind of support have you found here?
Well, for one, this Food Not Bombs.
Oh, yeah.
This is great, man. Like, two huge meals a week. This is great. This is really good food.
But will this keep you going for the next 5 days?
No. No, it will not.
No. I didn't think so. There's no Food Not Bombs in Watsonville, right?
I don't believe so. I never heard of it over there.
And are you a, you know, long-time resident of Watsonville, or just you recently?
The last 15 years.
And what possessed you to wander Santa Cruz way?
Well, I was kicked out of my house against my will, but I've been here before. I've been homeless here before for a couple months, and Santa Cruz treated me well, so I figured it would treat me well again.
So you're back.
Back again.
And if you want to say we've been talking with...
Excuse me?
You want to say who you are?
Diogenes.
Thank you, Diogenes. I'm Robert.
Nice to meet you, Robert.
Nice to meet you, Diogenes. We're at the protest a couple of days ago at City Hall, concerned with reopening bathrooms at Loudoun Nelson City Hall, San Lorenzo Park, other places. How have you found the facilities in the last few days?
Well, certainly not okay. It's too easy for too many people to say, oh, you got to wait. And you wait, or somebody, they knew that you needed it immediately, like me, or you got prostate cancer. Can't wait. And I'm not the only one.
No accidents in the last 4 days because of that, or not? If you wish to say, you don't have to.
I went into another county because I knew I had better control of what I had to do. And they would see me come in there sometimes, about once a week, maybe one day a week. Sleep there at night and have a meal. But you can get pretty angry. You can't sleep without a baseball bat alongside of you.
Is that how you sleep?
Oh, yeah.
And how did you do last night?
Nobody bothered me last night.
No police, no vigilantes, no homeless tweakers. Or housed tweaker.
No, it worked fine. I got the stuff I need, and I wrap it all up, and I push the cart around. tonight I'll do the same thing, basically.
Anything else, Ray, before I meander on? Here comes Jim.
Well, when you become in a homeless situation, you get all kinds of things that you have no control over, and they get away with it legally. I got some of those things hanging over me right now, and I got to deal with them tomorrow. And it's very, very frustrating. These people can come along, cut your locks off, which happened about 10 days ago. Stuff gets stolen, couldn't find this, couldn't find that. Didn't see the person who did it, but I got a pretty good idea who did. But we go through this. This is not my first time.
Yeah?
I've had a lot of stuff taken away from me since I became disabled.
You're outside. You're sleeping outside?
Oh, yeah.
That was my assumption.
Just recently, I always had a van before, or motorhome, or something.
How did you lose it?
One was arson. They burnt the thing.
Yeah. Santa Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
We know who did it?
Oh, yeah. Person was with me in the motorhome. She just got back from the family funeral because she was not allowed to get any of the her father's property. She was mad at the world. I didn't know that quick enough. So while I was in Costco getting the big battery and what I had to do, she came in there once or twice, madder than hell. I thought, oh, well, that's her sometimes. As soon as I pulled all the out, I went one block. Everything went up in flames.
Wow.
I knew exactly where to look, sure enough.
How long ago was this?
2013.
And you had a second van after that, or that was your last van?
Oh, I've had, in the 35 years I've been disabled, I've had 19 vehicles taken away from me.
You should write a book.
That's what they tell me. But, like some people warned me, when I was on the board of this college, they said, you can't be talking about some of these things, Ray. They'll kill you. They knew what happened to my son. They killed my son. Got him in the hospital, shot him full of shots. Because the family wouldn't be around, so they hoped. They took all the body parts. $1.5 million worth.
Profitable for some, eh? Well, we've been talking with
Ray.
Anything else?
Probably not that we should go into.
Well, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
A meal.
Finally, new bomb coming out on the street. Yes, a love revolution.
Well,
take care of each other and know that we're all brothers and sisters, so we shouldn't be fighting. We should be taking. We should be giving. We should be loving. Yeah. No, talking about a revolution.
Like a whisper.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds
like a whisper.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds
like a whisper.
Music of Ricardo, fusion song Valerie, and tambourine off to the side, musical mic, and the singing of...
What was that?
Your name is...
I'm Gisana.
And Gisana. Thank you, Gisana.
Thank you.
Ricardo.
Ricardo, you're still doing musical numbers every night near the Palomar.
You know, we love this music scene here in Santa Cruz, and yeah, we love Santa Cruz, and we love the Palomar, because they're nice people. And and great food.
No hassles for police, rangers, or other people?
This one cop gave, he's not a cop, he's a ranger. The one, the great big Mexican guy with stripes, with three stripes, he gave Cooper a ticket for singing more than 1 hour on the avenue. Everybody on the street turned against him. He was just trying to, it was ridiculous. For singing, she sang with somebody else's group, and it was a great bunch of people who just ad hoc got together. He went back and charged her and said, oh, you can't sing here, you've already sung for an hour. She said, I didn't sing an hour, I sang a few songs. Yeah, and gave her a ticket, so we're going to see how that goes. He gave me a ticket for sitting someplace 10 minutes when I've been there 10 minutes. I had witnesses, said I was other place. He gave me a ticket anyway. He's trying to show who's boss, huh?
How long ago was this?
That was last week, sometime last week. Everybody on the street turned against him and started laughing and hooting at him and stuff. It was because you go up and you mess up the music, the people are going to get uptight. And Cooper is really popular among the people. They love her because she loves them. You know, she does love her audience and thinks they're great. Yeah, I do too. Yeah, but Cooper addresses them.
So bad yourself.
But... Hey, thanks a lot. I do love my audience too.
We've been talking with
Ricardo.
Ricardo Lopez.
Ricardo Lopez, you betcha. Same as Manuel Lopez Obrador, who looks like he won down in Mexico. I hope he did.
Thank you, Ricardo.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We are stars. We are golden. We are stars.
That's
with more music from Vision Song Valerie and her traveling troubadours. Get something from an anonymous individual about new friendships with men of enforcement capacity, but he feels a little shy about discussing it, so we'll kind of put that one aside for the moment. Do you have any thoughts you want to pass on?
Get Esther for a good day. Get Esther for a good day.
Say
it's
that
just
one.
Just a thought.
Oh, okay.
For a good day. Have a good day.
And I wish you the same.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, a bad day. Why would I want to wish you a bad day? No, a good day is definitely a better idea.
You did, huh?
And we've been getting a good day from?
Roberta.
Of course. Who we've heard from before. Roberta, are you losing weight again? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, I've been losing too much weight. I don't have a job, you know. I scapegoated on every job I ever had, and I got.
So you're starving yourself just for the hell of it.
I wasn't starving myself.
The world is starving you.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's 9/11, you know. So I've been losing too much weight, so I came here and.
You still look good, but how do you feel is the question.
How do I feel? Well, in some ways I feel better. Then I had Social Security disability for my knees, you know, because they were bad, but they're better now, which is good, but I can't have disability for good knees, you know. So, and of course, I'd like to have my career back. You know, I lost my teaching career.
Career would be a good thing, maybe.
Yeah, very much so.
If you liked it, you want it back.
Oh, yeah, I like teaching. I liked it very much. Yeah.
And I have to ask you the same old questions. Any hassles outside you want to comment on?
About what?
Any problems outside or joys outside?
You're
in a pretty cheery mood today.
Yeah, I had a good day today.
Well, that's good. I'm not going to spoil it by asking you, man, what was the bad thing for that? We'll leave that one behind. We've been talking with?
Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta. Man, do you have any comments for Free Radio?
Well, me and my funky monkey want to tell you a thing or two.
Oh, yeah.
So one thing is, we're so happy to see you. The next thing is, we're happy that Rainbow Sister 2 is here. Jay's here to bring up the
spirit of things.
Yeah, the spirit of things. There you go. As far as street shit sheet material, I just got a ticket for loitering at the Staff of Life. This beautiful knockout bombshell blonde cop lady rolls up on me like Schwarzenegger's other half. And lets me know I better sit down and shut up because I was being all funny and telling her, don't you like my music?
You confused a poor officer of the law. Was it the monkey who did it or did you do it? Or did both of you collude?
Well, we were monkeying around to be sure and she wasn't having it. She said she responded to a complaint from the store. And I'm like, well, maybe I should see what songs they... Look at that blue jay. Oh, my God, he just scored this big piece of bread.
Birds and people come to Food Not Bombs.
Exactly. Usually just pigeons, and we had a blue jay guest appearance do a drop in there.
So you have a ticket. When did you get it?
Well, I can't believe I haven't had one in a while because they changed the camping ban somewhat. I don't know the details.
Well,
so
enforcement practices, but not the ban itself.
Yeah, they're playing the odds. So, a buddy of mine flies a sign at this drive-in at their parking area, so I'm thinking, well, I'll just sit there when he's not and do a few tunes. And yes, I got blessed by some leftovers, another person blessed with a dollar. So in about an hour, I had, you know, Santa Cruz affirmations from two, and then along comes the Terminator 2 lady.
What was her name?
I have no idea. I'd never want to know. I just know they're doing a job they probably don't want to do, but it's just they're...
What did she actually ticket you for? Do you know what it was?
Oh, you know, they can make up anything they want. I mean, the paper says within 14 feet of a no loitering area. I mean, officially, if you're not inside a square downtown, they can get you, supposedly, but we're not in no square.
No, that's only for the downtown Pacific Avenue. Where was this? This was the Staff of Life, you say?
Yeah.
That's way on the, that's on SoCal Avenue, yeah.
They call it Midtown.
Yeah, I don't, Well, you'll have to show me your citation at some point, and we will examine it more closely.
We can do that, Bathrobes Pierre. Always good to see you here.
And good to see you, too.
All right, Meriwether Mike checking out.
Thank you, Mike.
The women, that is.
Indeed. Sonny, what you got for me?
We got something going on over at the Food Lounge July 6th. We got some music performance, and we also have photography from artists who are either houseless, homeless, or we have...
Pearl Street, or this is at River Street?
This is
right
next to the Goodwill down here in town.
Okay, I know the Goodwill.
Art Center.
Museum of Art, not the Museum of Art and History on...
No, it's not the mall.
No, it's
food court, which is next to the. It's called the food court. And it's next to the Salvation Army. By Hummingbird Lane, is that the name of that road?
Next to Goodwill, not the Salvation Army, but Goodwill.
It's right next to. It's called the Food Lounge.
Goodwill.
The Food Lounge.
That used to be the Center Cafe, I think, down there.
Yes, it was the Center Cafe, and now they have like 11th hour happy hour. And it's a food lounge in there as well, but
in the four people in that area.
Yeah, go in there.
Go in there. Try it.
Show a big difference on having a good communication
with a downtown streets team event. It's a downtown streets teams thing that we're playing.
What time does it happen?
5:30.
Oh, we got another one.
July 6th.
Yes,
July 6th, yeah. We'll be playing in the courtyard. They got a little patio.
That'll be Friday, I guess.
Friday.
Yes. First Friday, even.
Yes, the first Friday.
First day. I know that because this is...
Here we go.
Cool. Should I take one of these?
You should take it.
Light in the Shadows, or let's put it this way.
Light in the Shadows.
More PR.
That's a good name, right?
That's if you've had a little too much nuclear reaction time.
Photographic journey. Whoa. Be nice to have some real resources, not just some photographs, but you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Really good man.
We've been talking with...
It's Sonny Lopez.
All right, Sonny. Anybody else got any comments here before I leave you three?
Hey, other than yesterday, reuniting families back together, that's the best thing of all, and I appreciate
the
that.
The ICE protest?
Yes, it makes me feel like if I'm not alone out here in Santa Cruz.
How many people showed up for that sucker?
Thousands.
And where did... It was here downtown?
Yes.
And anything happened that any... Were both of you, all three of you at the protest, or just you or something?
I was just there.
What protest?
Yesterday.
Yesterday at the City Hall. Protesting what? Immigration policies.
Separating families, separating kids, taking people aside. Hey, remember to hug me anytime.
Okay.
Well, that was good. We heard you from here.
I just felt like it was a power and control wheel using kids and taking families away.
And, of course, everybody immediately marched on the federal building and strung up the ICE officials who were doing this, right?
Yes.
I doubt it.
Torches and pitchforks.
Pitches and torque forks, right.
Throughout all the day, I noticed that there were a bunch of family members who were with their kids, fathers and mothers and children together, just reuniting and making it a good day yesterday.
Is there a plan for there to be a second protest somewhere, or follow up on this?
There should be.
I agree. And we've been listening to the thoughts of...
It's Sonny.
Oh, you better talk now before I get out of here.
Hello, everybody. I'm having a good time here on 4th of July weekend. I'm finally feeling better about all things.
So, you look happier.
I am. I'm getting healthier. All my skin thing is gone, you know, with the MRSA and the infect and fungus and all that. I mean, I took care of myself. Finally, it happened. Got all my contacts back. I'm back on getting my...
Are you in love?
No.
Is that good or bad?
That's good, because I can take care of myself without hurting or just...
Burdening other people with your...
That's the word I was going to say, yes. Or even saying something nice that hurts the relationship.
Craving and yearning for that which you can't have.
Well, when you fall in love with your hooker, that's not the right thing to do.
That might be a problem.
I made that mistake, and I didn't even know it. But I know now, and there's no harm, no foul, nothing.
I started a stripper.
But I understand what that means now, really, truly. When a woman just wants, you know, your physicalness. Well, I mean, I've been without physical since for a long time.
Using you, sir.
Well, it would have been fine if I would have understood that.
I see.
a little better than I did
you
now.
Your heart and your penis, too, folks.
Well, I wasn't available because of I was healing. It takes a long time to get rid of this ugly stuff. And I want new teeth, and I wasn't comfortable, you know, making contact the way that I want to with missing teeth.
I would spare you these, shall we say, intimate details, much
well,
as
wait
I'm
a minute.
Curious.
The older I get, the lesser I hide. Ooh, got a horn on that one.
Expose yourself to the next guy over there, if you'd like, mister.
Camel toe.
All right, then. We've been listening to the revelations of...
Dreamcatcher.
Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
Sober Dreamcatcher, that's
yeah, pretty sober, but cheery. Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
You got it, yeah. Thank you,
Robert. And, of course...
Mandolin Mark.
Mandolin Mark. Thank you, Mark. Town boy come home, to quote him.
Just come home and enjoy in Santa Cruz. The old feel, the old vibe, still here. Just different faces.
How long were you away?
Marriage, 20 years, away from meth.
Now you're back.
And clean.
And you have a place to live, or are you, should we say, you're outside?
Oh, definitely outside. But
you've got a smile on your face. Everyone's got a smile today.
Hey, you woke up breathing, smile.
And we've been talking with?
David.
Murphy. Thank you, David. You're a man, a youngster, who's been around... When Karen Gillette was running the Homeless Community Resource Center, she called it, or the Free Meal, as it was known before that. I think even when Jane Immler was doing her protest to set things up, you think that you, from your perspective, things have changed?
Oh, absolutely, and for the worse, because the homeless aren't getting the help that they used to, and thank God for Food Not Bombs, because they'd be in a lot of trouble without them.
Of course, they've cut off meals at the homeless lack of... I call it the homeless lack of services center because they don't give food anymore. They do have showers and bathrooms during the day, weekdays, I guess it is. But you have to get past their little, you know, let us see your papers, show us your card, go past the gate, the security guard, we look you over, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's all BS, man. I mean, Santa Cruz had a nice feel to it. Everybody was community, and everybody was about helping one another. You know, yeah, there was drugs and everything else, but we all kept that in perspective and you know, still helped one another, no matter how strung out one got, you know. We were all still there for one another, and then don't have that no more. That's all gone.
You're glad to be back.
Absolutely. This is home. They say, once you leave Santa Cruz, you'll always be back if you're a native.
And you were born here?
Oh, yeah. Well, El Camino Hospital over the hill, but close enough. I grew up in Capitola Elementary. I went there. I went to New Brighton Middle School when they first put up the gym. So, yeah, I've got quite a long history.
What year were you born?
I was born in 73.
So you were here in the... You were here in the 90s, and then you left for 20 years.
Yeah, I left 95 and back 3 years ago.
Well, as I say to everybody, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we've been talking with
Youngster and David Murphy.
Thank you. We're listening to the thoughts of...
This is Elise Casby.
Go ahead, Elise. You got some thoughts about properties downtown.
It was hard to... deduce what City Council was exactly attempting to present. The Housing Blueprint Subcommittee presented their proposed, basically it was a proposed housing policy on June 12th.
The unaffordable housing policy?
Right. I think we need to start by asking them to define every one of their words during any presentation they ever attempt in the future to present. But that aside, they put up a map and they put up a timeline in addition to their proposed recommendations, which, by the way, were approved. What I saw, what I think I saw, you have to look real hard and real fast because these things don't necessarily appear on City Council website again. I saw a number of public properties, in other words, city-owned properties downtown. There's one called the NIAID building, which is across from the Metro building. There's maybe four or five at most parcels that are very much centralized downtown, especially at that end of Pacific Avenue-ish area. That around that area, at that end, Laurel Street's end of Pacific Avenue.
Mow down and redevelop.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to try to say is I feel like we all should not allow our public properties to be given over to the developers, which is what this plan was pretty much all about. Give them over to developers, and then the developers will have sovereignty over these properties. They can deny anybody affordable housing. They can hold on to an affordable housing unit for up to 10 years. It's completely within their purview. It's their power to decide. That is the developer's power to decide who gets a unit and when. This is ridiculous. There's nothing happening in this entire policy, as far as I can see, that is truly about providing really affordable housing to anybody who's poor or, for example, working poor or very, very poor, and there's no clear path. But the thing that I really wanted to focus on, I'll just wrap this up in a minute, is really what we need to do as a community, I believe, is make sure that the city does not give away these buildings and parcels, this land with buildings on it, until we are absolutely guaranteed that we have a certain amount of units that are going to be made available to the poorest of the poor, that there's a clear path that we can understand, for example, which is very hard to do with any of their presentations right now.
Have you conferred with Mayor Terrazzo?
And other things that we should make sure we have. And, no, I'm arm wrestling him for the mic right now. Don't let the developers control our city-owned properties. That has to stop. Sandy Brown, I must say, was on this Housing Blueprint Subcommittee, and she did not like the results that they came up with. My hunch is that she pretty much wasn't given much of a voice. So we need to make sure that these city properties, such as the NIAID building, is just one.
And how are you going to do this, Elise?
Are used for the public.
How are you going to do this, Elise?
I think we need to organize.
You need to organize.
And fight, really.
Are you telling us we're disorganized? Are you suggesting?
I'm just suggesting that we need to completely get rid of all those insiders who are behind the council and their money-driven candidates like Terrazas and like, Comstock's thankfully off, and Cynthia Chase, Cynthia Matthews, even Don Layton. I mean, all these people, sure. They're willing to give so-called affordable housing for the solidly middle class, which means in Santa Cruz you're about making $100,000 a year to the workers who are going over to Silicon Valley. But there are a few other people in the city who need housing.
No, at least.
And otherwise, it's all market rate, and it's a way to privatize.
Tijuana has great housing this time of year.
It's a way to privatize our possibilities and make sure that we don't have any possibilities for real public housing. And if we don't act soon, it will all be privatized. We will become a outrageously gentrified upscale community.
Sort of like we are.
Yes. I have a cough drop in my mouth.
And nonetheless, you've made yourself clear. We've been listening to
Elise Cosby.
Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, Ron.
And that's sad to say, or perhaps not so sad to say, it's it. For Bathroom Spears Broadsides today. Come back again on Sunday and be flooded with hours and hours more of the same thing, or perhaps some newer things, but in the same genre. In the meantime, give me a call on the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, if you'd like to report stuff that's happening that you think we should be covering, correct stuff that we're covering wrong, or just give us your thoughts and feelings and reactions to the show. Back at you on Sunday morning at 9:30.
Good evening, my friends. Afternoon and day. This is our duck here, asking you to help us find a new studio location. $500 to the one that can provide. If you know such a spot, it needs, a bathroom. Electricity, ability to connect internet and telephone. Dry would be nice. We all thank you in advance for your support of this truly community-operated pirate radio station. 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Send us an email with your Knowledge, FRSC at freakradio.org. We thank you in advance.